The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Clean Nation. Good to see you. Welcome back. Lindsay said today's topic must have been exciting because people put more answers, more thought. It's going to be a party. So let's jump right in with questions.
Awesome. So Mike, last week we left off on a call to action that you made, and you wanted to know from Cleaning Nation, what are the top three things that you're spending your time on in your cleaning company? And then how do you feel about that? And we got lots of responses. I'm excited. We're going to jump right into Grace, who emailed us in this really thoughtful, long response that I can't read the whole thing on, but I'm going to hit her top three things, her bullet points, and then how she feels about that. And then we'll just take it from there, Mike, and see what feedback you have, and let's do it. So Grace said, number one, trying to systematize things. Number two, trying to tell myself I deserve abundance and prosperity. Number three, I have realized this sick truth about human beings. We know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, but we do not. Why? What is that block? She's getting deep. And then how she feels about it. I feel like there's an answer for my curiosity, and this answer can solve everything. Anyway, I want to make money so I can do better things with my time. And I like cleaning. It's a cool business to have, easy and challenging. It's the person you become through it, right? Isn't that the price? I feel like making money. So that's
what's her name?
Grace.
Grace, you don't work on the work as much as the work works on you, girlfriend. So you're absolutely right. It has a lot to do with who you become. All right. You hit me with our Clean Nation and I with a lot, Lindsay, and are muted. I think you may know that, but just so you know, if you think we can hear you, we can't. Let's go one by one because I tried to memorize and did not memorize. So what was the first one?
All right. Number one, trying to systematize things.
I don't know if you guys heard that little beep, but it sounded like Lindsay said, trying to systematize things. My computer went ding. Like that was well done. Didn't say, okay, well, just I guess that was an inside joke inside my own head. Sorry, Clean Nation. So, gosh, it's so frustrating, Grace, because these are such good, deep questions. I would love to have a conversation with you about it. And so hard to kind of do this one way deal. Most of the time, when people say they're trying to systematize things, what they really mean is they have a desire to systematize things. And they don't know what to do. So it's a lot of going on YouTube or looking at software or maybe buying software or writing a bunch of stuff down, but they really don't know how to move forward. Oftentimes it is because they're not crystal clear on what they want. So they don't know how to get there. So we all say we want things systematized or organized. And when I go, what does that mean? They'll say something like, I want the business to run on its own. What does that mean, right? Like 100% on its own? And typically what it means is for most of you, and Grace, I don't know if this is you, but the numbers would suggest this is going to hit you a little bit or partly, if not wholly you. I like working. I don't like working, but I like working on being a business owner, building my business. I don't like working on certain things that I think are not high leverage of my time. So the real conversation is, what should I be working on and how do I do it in such a way that I can do it once and not have to do it over and over? So I think and I hate putting words into people's mouth, but most of the time, Grace, when people say I'm trying to systematize my business and I'm failing, is they're saying, I don't know what to do next. So I try thing after thing after thing and it doesn't get the result that I want, but I'm not really clear on that result. So the easy answer is, well, just call us and go through. We have a system and process for all this, but I don't want this to sound like a big sales pitch, but that really is the simplest, easiest answer to give an answer. Like, I don't like you and I don't want to spend any money. Screw you. I'll do my best. Get crystal clear on what it is you want. Identify the high versus low leverage tasks. and systematize out the low leverage. So for me, I'll just give a quick, not for me, but just a quick example with my, I want $1 million company. Got it. That makes, actually most people start with revenue, start with profit. I want to make $200,000 a year profit. That's better. And I'd like to do it working 20 hours a week. And I would like not to clean at all in those 20 hours and to be able to do that from anywhere in the world with an internet connection, something like that. Then we're going to go, okay, if that's what we're solving for, what tasks would be high level in terms of that? And what tasks would be low level? And then just write down all the stuff you do. And like, I answer the phone and a customer complained and I spent 20 minutes hearing about that. Okay. Is that likely to get me to $200,000 profit business running? Probably not. Okay. So we're going to just step one, get clear on what you want. Step two, write down the things that you're doing. Step three, break them into high leverage things that are moving you closer to your goal and low leverage things that you are not, and take the things that are not and systematize those out. So you could go, all right, for a customer that called in, maybe I shouldn't have my cell phone be what rings when anybody calls and I have to stop what I'm doing or ignore somebody. Two, maybe I should have a person to make sure the customers are happy and proactively call them as opposed to react to it. Three, maybe I could have an answering service that would only put the important calls through. Like, just you start getting those thoughts. And the last thing is the high leverage things that you're doing, one of two things is going to be it. Yep. They're enough. I know exactly what I need to do. I just haven't had the discipline to get rid of the low leverage stuff to do the high leverage. But when I can do that, it will get me where I want to go. Then you're good to go. You're like, nope. Even the high leverage stuff I'm doing isn't all the picture. And I feel like if that's all I do, I'm still not going to hit my goal. Well, that's when you have to get a coach or read a book or get someone else that's got better systems. So that's a big, hairy answer. But you ask a big, hairy question, Grace. So hopefully that was helpful. And sincerely, that... it's just such a big question. It's hard to cover in, you know, a couple minutes. That said, hit me with Grace number 2.0, Linz.
All right. So her second thing was she spends a lot of time trying to tell herself she deserves abundance and prosperity.
I don't know when it's going to release in relationship to this podcast, but I just recorded a podcast with Suzanne and we were talking about talking yourself out of success. And she made listen to the podcast. It was excellent. But the summary was we make these definitive negative statements. People in my area don't want to work. You know, I've tried before to get out of cleaning and I couldn't, therefore I never will again. Like, we just make all these statements that are very definitive. And what Suzanne advocated for people was to ask empowering questions. So I don't like a lot of people just do the opposite. Nobody wants to work. And then we just like, but they do want to work. Everyone wants to work. And we just say it, but it's not like, well, that wasn't helpful, right? What might help, Grace, and it doesn't take a lot of time, is changing the empowering statements that you know not to be true. Everyone wants to work. Well, I don't think that's the truth, with a question. What if everyone didn't have to work? I only need 7 employees. What if there were 10, you know, a million people in my state and only 10,000 of them wanted to work and I only needed 7. I wonder what the people that did want to work would want to come. Is it just money or is it something else? I wonder if other people have people working for a job that pays less or is crappier than mine. I wonder if I asked them how they did it, if they tell, like, you can just start asking questions. So Grace, instead of trying to fake it till you make it or pump yourself up with, I'm a billionaire and I'm going to be rich and nothing is beyond my control. And then in your gut, you're like, I don't believe any of that. That's just going to makes it harder. Just ask some questions. What if I wanted, if I were going to be a millionaire in a year, what would that look like? How many millions of dollars would I need? Where would I get it? Who would I have to associate with? What types of actions would I do? So I would say, just ask some more open-ended, better questions. And it may not get you all the way there, but it's going to be a lot more fun and effective than just definitive statements of I'm a rich billionaire and everything's going to work out in my life because that's what I want. Like, if I were going to be a billionaire, how would I get there? How have other billionaires got there? Okay. Hopefully that's good for 2. We got one more for Grace. I'm trying to go quick because I know there's a lot of questions that I love you, Grace, but I want to make sure other people get some.
Yeah, Grace is going deep here. Her last question is, we know what to do. We know when to do it, how to do it, but then we just don't do it. What is that block? Can you speak to that, Mike? Like, ooh.
That's why we have Suzanne. Come on, Grace. That's a Suzanne question.
So word answer.
Suzanne. Yeah, I'll give you a B minus. Suzanne would have given you an A plus. So first of all, I would be a little careful. We want what to know, how to do all that. That's not always the case. And sometimes, especially if we don't do it, there's some sort of fear in our life or belief that the cost of this thing is going to be higher than the benefit of this thing. So I don't know that it's always, I wouldn't just assume we always know what to do and how to do it, I would say there's part of it. I think there's some lack of certainty often. That's like, I have an idea what to do. I've got thoughts on what to do. I've got hopes on what to do, but I don't want to do it. That said, I'm kind of the Anthony Robbins school of thought. And actually, I'm sure he didn't invent it, but he's who introduced it to me of human beings only do things for two reasons, to escape pain and to get towards pleasure. So if there's a thing that you think you should do and are not doing it, there's some part of you that perceives the pain of doing it will exceed the pain of not doing it. And yeah, that's again, big question. These are huge philosophical questions. I'm trying to do my best. And by the way, I'm not an expert in all. I'm pretty dang good at business. I'm pretty successful, but some of these are above my pay grade. So I'm doing the best I can, Grace. Hopefully that brings some help, more fellow traveler trying to help than, you know, the definitive right answer. Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
We're going to move on to Beth Ross Huck. She's actually a current accelerator, and she's in the chat too.
What's up? What up, Beth? I will see you, girlfriend.
Here's her top three and then how she feels about it. So number one, scheduling with texts and clients. Two, going out and giving estimates. Three, making invoices, receipts, and estimates on Microsoft Word. And how she feels about it is she doesn't mind doing the work. She just has so many different things that she's juggling, and she's wearing all the hats in the business that it makes it pretty tough.
I love this question, Beth. This is a perfect example of, we can dive deeper on what I'd said in response to Grace's question around kind of articulate the things that you're doing and decide what's high level or low level. This is a perfect example. If I were like, oh, and I would have gone deeper into it, but I wanted to answer another question. I didn't have any specifics. So Beth, you teed me up perfectly. Give me each of these three, because I remember each of them are a different way I would solve. So it's a perfect example of how to solve it different ways. What was the first one, Linz?
Number one, scheduling with texts and clients.
Perfect. All right. So I'm doing this by memory, and I've been back-to-back appointments, so my brain is not quite working. So I'm doing the best I can. But generally what we talk about doing is just stop doing it. So we kind of go from easiest to hardest. This is the just stop doing it. Like, a lot of things you do because you've always done them, or you feel that they need to be done, but truth be told, they don't. It's just something you've always done. You could literally just stop doing with very little, if any. Perfect example, answering the phone. And I'm not saying for everybody in all times, but we're pretty large company, and I don't think we have anyone answering our phone. I don't even know what our phone number is. So we just didn't do it anymore, right? I'm not saying that could be for everyone, but most companies or business would be like, you can't not do that. Like, well, how do people get a hold of you? You're here right now getting a hold of me. We have a website. We have, like, you'll figure it out. Well, you know, we're out there. Instagram, the world exists, right? So stop doing it would be one. Second would be to systematize it out, right? Typically that's software or something like that. Third would be to have vendor help. Fourth might be to hire like a part-time contractor to help. And then finally, at the end of the day, if you can't get through any of that sort of thing, then we'll hire an employee. So her first thing was, I asked you, you told me I went on some rant, didn't answer anything she asked. And then now I've completely forgotten the first thing she's doing. Will you hit it with me one more time, if I promise not to ask again?
Sure. Scheduling with techs and clients.
Perfect. So that is something I don't think we can eliminate. Like, we're just not going to schedule people anymore. Well, that, I don't think that's going to work in this situation. Systematize it out. I think we could certainly do that, right? There could be a piece of software, something that would automate that. Third would be to hire like a vendor or something. I don't know how to do that. Fourth would be to hire a part-time person, which is what we would recommend in this. We recommend one of the first hires you make after a cleaner is a scheduler. Right. So that scheduler would be, that's what they handle. And it's frustrating because it's like kind of being on call. Like, it's only 0 to 36 minutes a day. Like, it's just not that much, but it's kind of like, oh, somebody did blah, 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 blah. So you could just hire somebody. There are lots of contractors out there that are doing part-time work that if you said, hey, if you'll just handle this job that takes 0 to 40 minutes a day, I'll give you $300 a month. And they could do that. So that would be a perfect example where I'd hire a contractor to just do that one very specific thing. What was number two?
Number two, going out and giving estimates.
Perfect. So that's going to be at the bottom of the funnel in terms of that's someone I would probably hire someone to do, a salesperson. But I got to tell you, of all the things that we're doing, if we were breaking that down into what's valuable, what's not valuable, that particular one, pretty valuable, right? So if we look at like cleaning toilets, like, well, if I pay a cleaner, if it costs me 18 or call it $20 to have a cleaner clean, every hour I clean is worth exactly $20, right? Because I could have a cleaner do it the same work and it would just be $20. Sales, I guess, would be the same thing. But if you think about it, average client for residential might be $400 a month. That's $4,800 a year. We'll call it 5,000. If they stay 2 years, that's 10 grand. So if going out on that estimate takes you 90 minutes, half hour, hour, somewhere, to call it an hour just to make the math easy, and it's a $10,000 sale, that's $5,000. And you only sell like half of them, that's $5,000 an hour. So compared to the $20 an hour of cleaning or $30 of doing bookkeeping or whatever, you know, a couple $1,000 an hour is not bad. So you could definitely hire a salesperson to do that for you. But if you had to hold on to something, is we're looking at where, you know, if I want to be a millionaire in a year, that's probably not the right thing. But if I want to make $100,000 a year, it's like, well, $100,000 a year is about $50 an hour. If I could do work that's $1,000 an hour, that would be something I wouldn't take off my plate. So that kind of fits in the framework we were talking about with Grace. All right, what was number three?
All right, number three is making invoices, receipts, and estimates on Microsoft Word.
So, God, that's like three separate things. So making was invoices, that would be one I just stopped doing, right? Like, we don't invoice our clients at all. We get, once they say we'd like your service and we'd like to pay, put the credit card in. I think we clicked a button on QuickBooks saying, please send them a sales receipt, and they automatically get an email sales receipt. We don't send them nothing. And we just agree for monthly clients, we have your credit card. We'll just run it, you know, at this date every month, and it just runs. We don't do anything. It's literally systematized out. So that's how I would do that. Second one was, what was the second one?
Receipts.
I don't know what she means by receipts. Like, not sure. Beth, you're in the program. You talked to me on how to do it. What was the other one? The third one?
And the estimates.
Again, estimates for residential, I wouldn't even make an estimate. I would just tell them, here's what it's going to be, right? Like, when you're at that sales thing, just, they're there. They called you out for help. If you've agreed that you can help them and you want to take them as a client, sign them up. You don't need to do an estimate. We don't even do it. So that would be the just stop doing it category. So hopefully you guys are seeing what this looks like in a day-to-day execution of just stop doing it, systematize it out, hire a small person, hire an employee, or when it might make sense to keep something for yourself. So you did a great job, Beth. I think with that one question, we were able to hit most of the categories of ways that you would offload things and how to think about it. All right. I think we got time for one more.
Okay, Mike, we got one more.
Ideally not a seven parter. That's why they're going so long. I'm trying to be quick, but you're like part 1A, subsection 3. There's just one question. I'm like, come on, girl.
Well, this next one, I'm going to throw a softball to you, because for all three things, they put marketing, marketing, and marketing. This is Spokane Office Cleaning from Facebook. They said, we don't have enough money for someone else to create and run campaigns. We only have enough for them to create, maybe. And Spokane feels tired from trying to do all this marketing.
So he lives in Spokane, or his or her name is Spokane?
Spokane Office Cleaning is the name of the company.
So if you guys say something, give us your name so we don't have to refer to you as Spokane Office Cleaning. And by the way, neither Lindsay or I from Washington, so I don't know if it's Spokane or Spokane. My apologies to the fine people of Washington, but we do the best we can with what we have. So marketing is kind of a different kettle of fish. For all things in work, in business, but certainly marketing, it just takes time, and all money is someone else's time, right? You're like, oh, well, not Facebook. Yeah. Facebook has spent a lot of time and money congregating eyeballs. And you're like, if I give you some money, will you point some of those eyeballs at me? And I say, yes, we will. That just saves time. You could go get those eyeballs on your own. Just time. So I think a lot of people feel bad or think like, I need cheap marketing. It's like, marketing is marketing. It's all the same stuff. It's just, do I want to perform this task, or do I want to pay someone else to perform this task? Which goes right back to the leveraging part of, well, if it's $20 an hour for cleaning and I pay someone else, I save $20, right? If my time is worth $100, that's a bad deal. If my time is worth $10 an hour, that's a good deal. So the same with marketing. The only caveat I would say is the old joke about the plumber that comes in and, you know, hits a thing for 2 minutes and charges $200. And the guy's like, that was two, you were here for 2 minutes, $200. He's like, you ain't paying 200 for the 2 minutes I was here hitting the thing. You're paying for the 10 years I figured out of where to hit it. So there's a little bit of that in marketing, right? But again, we can all go to YouTube University, which can be overwhelming and scary and not ideal. But we can learn marketing, right? If we've got enough time. Or we can pay someone else for their time to go to YouTube University and figure all this stuff out. So I'm not, when he says that, you know, I think that's the thing he's spending the time on. My coaching with the very limited information I have would be to get crystal clear on what you want. I think part of the problem is a lot of people, when they do quote unquote marketing, their goal is to, again, air quotes, get bigger. And this is all so squishy. We don't know what any of that means. So I want to be a $1 million company. When? A multi-million, you know, well, what are we talking about? You know, so what we always do with our clients is get crystal clear on their goal, make sure it's a reasonable goal, and then help them break it down into leads, bid, sales. So as opposed to, I want to be a $1 million company. Like, well, I'm doing $500,000 now. I want to be $1 million. My average client size is this. My lead to bid ratio is this. My bid to sale ratio is that. We kind of do the math to be like, okay, to hit my goal, I need 6 leads a month, probably more than that. Depends on commercial residential. I need 10 leads a month to get 5 bids, to get 3 clients at $1,000, whatever the case may be. Then that helps. So the question is marketing. How do I do marketing? How do I get bigger? How do I grow? I don't know. It's just such a big question. How can I get 6 leads this month? Okay, well, that's a different, or 20 leads this month, or 26 leads. That's a different kettle of fish. And then again, same thing. You're like, well, if I just door knocked long enough, I'll get 6 people like, yeah, I'm interested in what you got. That just takes time. If I'm like, well, I don't want to door knock. What if I wrote something down and paid someone else to deliver it, like the postal service? Well, that's called direct mail. That's a way you can do it. What if I want to be digital and I wrote something down and I paid Facebook to put it in front of people? That would be that. What if I wrote down something and I put it on a billboard so passersby would, that would be that. So you just have to, but it makes it so much easier when you're crystal clear on what your goal is, how many leads, bid, sales that you need for that. And then it's just when you're like marketing, I want to grow. That's really difficult. We're like, I need 16 leads this month and my budget is zero or $100 or $500 or $1,000 or $10,000. When you start having those parameters, it's a little easier to kind of figure out what you want, but don't get too hung up on, I can't afford somebody else. Cause no offense, most marketers, the people that say they're marketers out there are not good marketers. So just get clear on, here's the goal. Here's how many leads I need. Here's the budget I have. And it shouldn't be zero, right? Like zero, like you couldn't buy one stamp. And based on, you might be like, it's little, it's $500. Okay, well, that's something. That's not nothing. So once you're clear on the parameters, exactly how many leads, bids, and sales do I need every month, exactly what's my budget, and exactly how much time I can spend, just like we were talking about earlier with Grace, you'd ask the question, if I needed 7 leads that were car dealerships and I had 10 hours a month to get them and $500, how would I go about it? So just finding, you know what I'm saying? But you have to get the parameters of a specific question before you can give yourself a good answer. So probably not as specific as you'd like, Mr. Spokane, but you didn't even give me your name. So we're doing the best we can with the details that we have. Lindsay, do you feel like we gave the people what they need, or any feedback, questions, comments?
No, this is excellent. Just shout out to everyone in chat. I love that people showed up today and I'm super excited. I think we might have to continue this one.
Lindsay's pretty much the topic whisperer. So I'll let her decide, but she listens to you guys. So if you were like, yes, we want more, then send in more questions, let her know. And if there's something else you like that you think is awesome that you'd like some feedback on, Lindsay, just support at growmycleaningcompany.com. If this has been helpful and you want more, just like I said, you can give us a call, but I don't know where you would find our number or who picks up at Amy. But if you go to growmycleaningcompany.com, you get that information. And actually, if you want to just even shoot me an email, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com, let me know. We'll do the best we can. Hope all is well. Kick some butt, guys. Talk soon. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431.
I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.